Stay standing for the reading of God's word. I'm going to be reading from Matthew 9, starting with verse 9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax collector's booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and he followed him. Then it happened as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came, and they were dining with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why is your teacher eating with tax collectors and sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, he said, "It's not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion, mercy, and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Let's pray. Father, in this moment, as we talk about Matthew's call, we are reminded that you have called us. And many like Matthew have got up and followed, but maybe there are some here, either in this room or just listening online somewhere, that they have not. And I pray that your Spirit would convince and convict as he helps point and show the way to Jesus. For it is through Jesus we pray. Amen. You may have a seat. The call is to follow. That is the call. And as Shane just mentioned earlier, that today we're talking about the call of Matthew. And if I was to say, who is Matthew? Many of you already know who he is, but since I was reading from the book of Matthew, then you probably go, oh, that's probably the guy who wrote the book, and you would be right. And Matthew is recounting for us the day when Jesus called him, the day when he kind of left everything else, left his livelihood, and began to follow Jesus wherever he went. And so as Matthew does this, the part of the question was, is who exactly is Matthew? Now, Matthew's not the only one to tell us about this event. A couple of the other gospel writers, Mark and Luke, also do the same. They kind of tell the same account, only they changed up a little bit. For you see, when they said they saw a man sitting in a tax collector's booth, they said his name was Levi. For you see, Matthew's other name was actually Levi. That would have been his Jewish name, Levi, being a son of Jacob, one of the 12 sons of Jacob. And so he was known as Levi. Mark tells us he was the son of Alphaeus, that there's a James, the son of Alphaeus. Could they have been brothers? Perhaps. The writers sometimes leave things out and leave for us room to guess for some of these things. But here is Levi, and I'm guessing, you know, some guys were born with a couple of different names. Levi is Jewish. Matthew is Aramaic. And so maybe he had both those names. Maybe he decided, maybe like Simon Peter, Peter was a name given to him by Jesus. Maybe Matthew was given a name later on. They weren't the only two that were known by this, by the same name. And so Matthew calls himself Matthew. In fact, Mark and Luke, even after they call him Levi in this situation, later they will call him Matthew. And so I'm guessing that somewhere along the way, as he began to follow Jesus, he started going by this new name that means the gift of God. And so this is Matthew. His dad is Alphaeus. He's become a follower of Jesus. And like Shane mentioned, he is a tax collector, sitting at this booth of his. Hearing fire engines is making me go, oh, with this wind, we probably need to pray for whoever and wherever it is. So you might throw one of those up while we're talking. Tax collectors. Hello. Yeah, yeah. Man, they are loud. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody that's listening needs to tell me if you can hear that online. Tax collectors were not the likable kind of people. It was a lucrative business, as Shane mentioned, but most often they were not likable. They were considered, along with the irreligious Jews, some of those sinners. That got lumped along together, tax collectors and sinners. It's one of those jobs that somebody has that not everybody likes people in that job. If you were to meet somebody and they say, oh yeah, I work for the IRS. What's your first reaction? Give me some of my money back? Or, yeah. Used car salesman. Yeah. Oh yeah. Some of you probably were one at once. Yeah. You know, and just because Matthew was a tax collector, many of them were greedy. But sometimes just by being a tax collector, people looked down on you because of that. But that didn't mean that everybody, all of them were greedy, but that's how they made their money, and they took your money. So people just don't like it when they take your, when somebody takes your own money. But here is Matthew. He's a tax collector. Now Luke, when he's telling the story about John the Baptist, when John the Baptist came on the scene, it tells us that many tax collectors came out to be baptized by John. And then they were asking, hey, what should we do? What kind of things should we do? And I wonder, was Matthew maybe one of those? Matthew, kind of early in the scene, seeing Jesus do some of his miracles and hear some of his teaching, so that when Jesus comes along on this particular day, when he's sitting at his tax collector's booth that is just there by Capernaum outside the Sea of Galilee, when Jesus comes along and says, follow me, he just follows. It's that simple. And he got up and he followed him. Now, Matthew, like Peter and Andrew and James and John, were called by Jesus, and it tells us with those fishermen that they left their nets and they followed Jesus. They left this business with the dad, fishing business, one that they could go back to if they ever wanted to. Matthew is getting up and leaving a business that he probably can't ever go back to if he leaves it. Others would take his place. And Matthew gets up and he just follows Jesus. You know, Jesus puts out the call for all to follow. He really does. John chapter 12, Jesus is saying this, and he says, the Son of Man, and that's how he referred himself, he said, the Son of Man will be lifted up, and when he's lifted up, he will draw all men to himself. Jesus is in the business of drawing everybody to himself and calling them. But Jesus will also tell stories that many people are invited, but not all will heed the call. Not all will follow. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when he preaches that first sermon, and we can read about it in Acts chapter 2, after he gets done with the sermon, then it tells the people are cut to the heart. They go, what do we do? What should we do? And he said, well, repent, change your ways, be baptized, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then the next verse in verse 39 says this, the promise, it's for you and your children and all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Over and over again, God is calling people to himself. And the call goes out softly and tenderly, like the song says. He continues to call people. The question is will they follow? Will we follow? But the call is not only for us to follow. The call is for sinners. That's who Jesus came for. You might think that that's a subset group of people, but it is not. It is for all. But the problem is not everybody thinks they are. Most of us really actually know that we are, but there are some blinded by their own pride and self-righteousness that they don't think they need a Savior. Well, here's Matthew. Matthew, when he gets up from there, Matthew throws a party. Matthew throws a dinner. He has a banquet at his house. We don't know, you know, none of them tell us when it is. It's probably shortly after this. Some think it was maybe that night. Some think it was just maybe later that week. We don't really know, but sometime pretty quick. But there's going to be a lot of people that are invited to this party, this dinner. And it tells us that Jesus is kind of the main reason that he's doing this. He's throwing what some have deemed a Matthew party. I've heard of people talking about, oh, I'm going to throw a Matthew party. Somebody who has come to Christ and then they do what Matthew did. They had invited their friends, their acquaintances, the people that they hung out with. And so Matthew does that. He calls these other tax collectors, these other guys, friends of his that have done this in this same job. We know people in our same job and we get connected with them. And then whoever else he hung out with. So this is the people that are at the party. And then it tells us some Pharisees are along the way at this party. My question was, is what are the Pharisees there for? I don't think they're at the party because their argument is, why is Jesus eating with all of those guys? So my guess is they're just happening to come by, and probably in those days, like many times, a lot of the stuff that's happening inside the house is probably happening outside the house too. There's a lot of people there. So some are at tables and sitting by, and as these Pharisees come by, all the noise, commotion, and they probably see some of those people they recognize. Oh, those are the followers of Jesus. And realize Jesus is in there sitting with these tax collectors and sinners, these irreligious Jews, these people that they would never be caught sitting next to, eating with. That would make them unclean. That would make them unable to go offer their sacrifices in an appropriate manner because these people have defiled them in their sins. Yeah, these are the kind of people that Jesus didn't have a problem with. These are the kind of people that Matthew said, hey, these are my friends, and I want them to know Jesus. So Matthew has these people. Jesus hears what the Pharisees say to his followers, and when he hears that, he's going to say something. He's going to say something about the healthy don't need a doctor. They don't need a physician. It's the sick people that do. Now, my doctor is sitting in this room. We have a few doctors around here. I don't go to Eric and call through and get an appointment and then walk in and go, eh, there's really nothing wrong with me. I just didn't get to talk to you at church, so I'm going to come up here and let's just talk a little bit. In fact, that's the most talkative I see Eric is when he's in his office. Yeah, he's kind of quiet. And but I don't go when I'm not sick because you just don't do that. You don't go make an appointment unless you're sick. And Jesus is going, you know what? It's not the healthy that need the doctor. It's the sick ones. Jesus is going to kind of get at with the Pharisees. You guys think these people are unrighteous, sinners. Jesus says, well, that's who I've come to call. That's who I've come to associate with. Problem is the Pharisees didn't realize that they were in the same boat because their self-righteousness, their pride, blinded them. They didn't think they needed a doctor. They didn't need someone to fix their sickness. So Jesus says, hey, I've come to call the sinners. I've come to call those who are sick, sin sick. I've come to call those who know they need help. Many of you have been in the same boat. No matter how bad life has gotten, when life has gotten pretty bad, you know you're in need of help. There are some who are definitely in need of help and yet refuse the help. You know, the call is for sinners, but not everybody thinks they are. But most people realize they are. Peter, most famous of all the disciples, when Jesus went to call the fishermen, they were out there fishing, and they weren't catching anything. So Jesus says, hey, throw the net on the other side of the boat. And when they did, they got a boatload of fish. And Peter's response was, depart from me. I'm a sinful man, Lord. Jesus knew that. just a common and ordinary guy that he's calling to follow him. He knows he's a sinful person. He knows you are a sinful person. You're in need of a Savior. You're in need of somebody to come and save. Our God is mighty to save, we sang. But Peter realized in the presence of holiness, he truly saw his unholiness, his unworthiness. That should be where we all are. And yet, there are some people who, because of their pride and their self-righteousness, like these Pharisees, they don't see their unrighteousness. They don't see their sickness. The call is for all, you see, but not all will follow. Not all see that they need help. They don't realize they're sinful enough to need a Savior. The Bible tells us, Romans 3:23, all have sinned, Paul will say. We've all fallen short of God's glory. And Jesus, in talking with these Pharisees, he will then say, after he said, I've come to call those who are sick, he looks at the Pharisees and says, but go and learn this. They understood what Jesus was saying. This is what rabbis did with each other. When one didn't seem to know what they were talking about, the wiser, more sage ones would then say, you know what, you need to go and learn this. You haven't learned this part quite right. Go back and learn this again. And so Jesus says this, but go and learn what Hosea says. And then he quotes from Hosea 6, where he says, I desire compassion and not sacrifice. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I desire loyalty, not sacrifice. If you were to go read it, if you were to go back to Hosea 6, Hosea was a prophet called by God. These prophets had, you know, somebody might say, you know what, I really would love to be I would love to have been a prophet. I would not have loved to have been a prophet. Looking at what some of them had to endure and had to go through. Hosea, to make a point for the Israelite people, for his people, God says, okay, Hosea, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go marry this woman. I'll point her out to you. Her name's Gomer. Gomer. Now, I know most of you in this room, some of you I don't, but I'm guessing none of you ladies are named Gomer, even in first or middle name. We just don't do that. In fact, the only Gomers most of us realize is Gomer Pyle. Yeah, with Shazam and golly, one of those things. But not only did she have a weird name, she was a prostitute. And God is calling Hosea to go marry her. And so he marries her, and then they have kids. And what does she do? She goes back to her own calling. She goes back to those men, that old lifestyle. So what does God tell Hosea to do? I want you to go back. I want you to go get her. I want you to bring her home. I've known some marriages. Some have never been able to get past the infidelity, the affairs. Some have. Some people have taken back or gone and got somebody back and says, hey, we're going to work this out. And it took a lot of work. It took a lot of forgiving, like Jesus, to be able to make that happen. And God is using Hosea to make a point. You know what? My people, and they've gone away from me, and they continue to stray, and I still love them, and I still want them. When Jesus says, I'm coming to call these sinners, he wants us to realize that we are sinners. God is calling the sinners, but that is all of us. We just sometimes forget that that's what we are, unless you spend enough time with yourself and you're reminded of it often. Jake, when he knew I was going to be preaching from this text, one of the papers he had to write for school at Ozark Christian College as he's working on his master's, he just remembered one of the papers he had to write was on Hosea 6:6 from this particular passage. And so he sent it to me, and I read through, and there's a quote in it. And this is kind of what Jesus is saying to those Pharisees, but something that they needed to go back and relearn. Sacrifices don't mean anything to me if your actions outside of the temple don't match your sacraments inside the temple. You can go through all the right things and you can come in and look like you're doing everything wonderful. But if that does not match how you're living away from here, those ought to be congruent. Those ought to line up with each other. Jesus says, I desire this compassion and mercy more than just sacrifice. Oh yeah, he wanted the people to sacrifice and do what they were supposed to do. But he also realized that's not the most important part. The most important part is how you treat people. It's what happens on the inside. It's the thoughts that count and the actions towards people and mercy and grace and justice, all of those things, and love, those are more important than just the actions themselves. The call is for sinners. Just not all think they are. So the call is to follow, that Jesus calls us all to follow. What does it mean? What does it mean to follow Jesus? For you see, there is a cost in following Jesus. The call is for all, as I mentioned, but not all will follow. But those who do follow, Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, it's going to take a few things. It's going to take for you to count the cost, because if you're going to follow me, here's what it's going to look like. And so a couple other passages in Matthew 16, they're sitting around a circle and Jesus is having a conversation with the 12, and he says, you know, who do people say that I am? Well, some say you're this, some say you're that, some say you're this prophet, Elijah, and well, what about you guys? What do you say? One of them says, you're the Christ, son of the living God. You're right. Blessed are you, Simon, son of John, on that. A little bit later in the conversation, Jesus will then say, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Matthew 16:24. If anyone wants to follow after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross. They knew what taking up his cross meant. You fast forward to the crucifixion of Jesus. What did they do? They carried their cross. They carried their cross upon which they would die. And Jesus said, if somebody's going to follow me, they're going to have to die. They're going to have to die to themselves. They're going to have to die and be willing to die. Galatians 2:20, Paul writes, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. He will say in Romans chapter 6, don't you know those of you who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death? We've been buried with him in baptism. There is a death that happens when we say yes to Jesus. We die to ourselves. We deny ourselves. It's no longer what we want, it's what he wants. And we die to ourselves and we live for him. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German pastor, theologian, author, around the time of Second World War, was killed and martyred for his faith. One of the things he writes a book called The Cost of Discipleship. And in it, he says this, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. The cost is high to follow Jesus, but oh, is it ever worth it? Because he walks with us through every step of the way. He knows what's best for us. Sometimes people say yes to Jesus, thinking they live their life and then pull Jesus into parts where they want. And Jesus says, no, you must give me the best put me first, which leads me to the second part of it. We must put Jesus first. Matthew, in chapter 10, verse 37 and 38, Jesus is talking and he says, if anyone loves mother and father more than me, he loves their son or daughter more than me, it's not worthy of me. He cannot be my disciple. Those may seem harsh words that Jesus is saying. And I know some of you. I know that you have loved your mom or dad, your kids, even when they were hurting, how much you loved and prayed for and ached for them. And here's the irony. That when we love Jesus first and most, we have the capacity to love the others even better. Jesus isn't saying, oh, don't love mom and dad, don't love your kids, don't love anybody else. He's saying, when you love me first, you'll be able to love them more. But Jesus needs to be first. It's not what you want any longer, it's what he wants. As we kind of come to a close here, I realize that not all people who are sick want to get well. Oh, Jesus told about, there was a story in the Gospels when somebody came up to Jesus who was wanting to get well, knowing Jesus had healed the other people, and Jesus asked this question, do you want to get well? And you might think that's just an obvious answer. But I've learned not everybody wants to get well. Some people like being sick. In fact, if they've been sick a long time, they may get comfortable with it. They wouldn't know what to do if Jesus might have come up and just heal them. Oh, they may have to get out into the world. Yeah. Sometimes people are comfortable in their sin sickness. They don't always want to get well. They like living the way they always want to live, whatever makes them happy in the moment or whatever the situation, even when the consequences are not very good. And they would much rather just live in that than let Jesus take over and to take the wheel. So how sick do you have to be to let Jesus take over? How sick do you have to be for Jesus to get your attention? Because I've heard this over and over again. It was not until I was flat on my back, it was not until this got this bad, before somebody got your attention. Matthew got up and followed Jesus. He got up and followed. Looking around the room, knowing many of you like I do, if I ask this question, have you followed Jesus? Yes, you have. And many of you, you've done that quite well, and you've done that faithfully. Some of you have done this through the ups and downs, and it's been shaky. You've had difficult times. You've had moments where you've wanted to quit, or where you thought you were probably going to, and you've endured it. But the other question, and this is for those of you who maybe have never opened up your heart to Jesus at all, is will you? Will you get up and follow? As we close out, we're going to do something a little bit different, because I don't normally do this. I don't like to do this personally. We're going to sing, and I'm going to lead it. Yeah, that's the scary part. Yeah. But as we close out this service, I want us to sing a song that is kind of a reaffirmation for many of you as we sing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. We're just going to sing this first verse. For many of you, you won't need the words, but some of you don't know the song. We'll put the words up there. But maybe for some of you, it's time you follow Jesus. The invitation is always there. It's always open. He's always calling. I'd love to visit with you. Shane was up here. He'll be around. We'd love to visit with you if that's something you're ready to do. I've decided to follow Jesus. Would you stand with me? Let's sing. To follow Jesus.